morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we got a spooky show for you today. We are going to be talking about ghosts, and my guest is Dinah Roseberry, and Dinah's back on the East Coast. Dinah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Now, Dinah, you have written about the ghosts of Valley Forge in Phoenixville, and I just love ghost stories. I just think they're so cool. Okay. You have been involved in publishing, though, and there have been a number of books that you have helped people to get out there in front of the reading public because of your interest and also for the fact that you work for a publishing company. But you have a real interest in books on your own level.
Yes, I do. Actually, I've been interested in ghosts and just about any kind of phenomena you can think of in the paranormal realm for many, many years. And I was lucky enough to interview with Schiffer Publishing about a year ago, and I didn't know I was coming here to interview about ghosts. I thought I was coming here to just get involved with their other lines.
Mm-hmm.
And when they found out I had an interest, or they actually did from looking into my background a little bit, I found out when I was here that that's what they were looking at me for. I was so excited. So I came on with a lot of enthusiasm, and I wanted not only to get the word out about ghosts and the realities and that kind of thing, but I wanted to give young authors, when I say young, I mean people who have not been in publishing before, the chance to get out there and tell their stories. So the first thing I did, though, was to write one for myself, because if I can't write something that I want someone else to do, it's kind of silly. So that's how I got involved initially with writing the Valley Forge in Phoenixville story.
Well, let's go into a little bit of your background. This is so much fun. I just love to talk about it. I had an interview yesterday. I was a guest on someone's show, and they got off on a tangent, which I've heard so many times over the years, which I think is so silly, but they go, ooh, what about this and what about that and what about religion and so on and so forth? And I said, oh, for heaven's sakes, this belongs to everybody. I don't know if anybody, I've talked to tens of thousands of people. I've, you know, interacted with literally millions through broadcasting over the many years that I've been on the air, and I just am amazed that those same ridiculous questions keep coming up. But every generation is new, and they have new experiences. So let's talk about you at 15. Talk about how you got introduced to the spooky side of life.
Well, that was a long time ago, but it was my first introduction into the ghostly world. Now, I already had an interest in things like Star Trek and creepy movies and things like that through my father and I spending a lot of time with that on the late Saturday night chiller shows. So I was at a pajama party at age 15 with a bunch of my friends. And we were, I'm dating myself when I say this, but I have to do it. We were playing with a Ouija board, which at that time I had no clue that there were proper methods to using one of these things and that they could be dangerous. So I started to play with it with these other young ladies. And the next thing you know, we got belligerent feedback from the board. Now, back then, the Beatles were just coming out and being, you know, very popular, and we had a record album on the radio, on the record player.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, there wasn't CDs. It was just a record player, and it was spinning, and it was playing, and the Ouija board kept saying, turn off the music, turn off the music, and it kept spinning to the same words over and over again. And at 15, we didn't have a great attention span for this kind of thing. So we just kind of got tired of it and said, if you don't like it, turn it off yourself. Well, all the lights dimmed in the place. Then they went back up, but the record player started to drag, and it dragged till it stopped with the needle right in the middle of the record. while all the rest of the lights were on. Well, all of us looked at each other with wide eyes. We packed up the Ouija board and put it away. So it was really, we didn't even know at that time that we should have closed out. We'd opened up a porthole in some fashion and that we should have closed it, and we didn't. So it was just, that was the beginning of knowing that there was something out there beyond me that we couldn't see, and it was really there. You tend to want to push it away and say, it didn't happen. But I sat right there at 15 and saw it happen. So I know.
Absolutely. And that's the key. Until someone goes through an experience, then you really are going to have a tough time to relate.
Yes, and we hear that all the time. Any of your ghost hunters, any of the people who have had experiences, they usually have their interest based on something that has happened or to them or to someone near to them. And until then, there's just, you have no conception of something that you can't see until things start to happen to you. And that was something that was cool with this project, because though I believed, and I've had a kind of intuitive knowing over the years, I'd never really had any other great things happen to me that I could say, whoa, that's really a ghost. But as soon as you open your mind to it and you start to do the investigating, well, my mind was blown when I wrote this book. By the time I finished this book, I was so excited about the afterlife and the fact that I didn't have to really consider whether there was one or not in any religious fashion or in any fashion at all, because I saw so many things that couldn't be unless there was.
Now, let's go another step.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who are listening, this is Dinah Roseberry, and her book is Ghosts of Valley Forge and Phoenixville. But I want to talk about her experiences, because it's always good to hear it from the individual who has been going through various experiences, because everybody has their own particular happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also touch on angels, ghosts, guardians. You know, the terms can be, people sometimes use the term spirit. It depends on their generation, what they're most comfortable with, entity. And you talk about those that have a protective nature, and your daughter, you say, is more intuitive than you are. Tell us about that particular personality, that entity that your daughter became aware of.
Well, my daughter, and she's really freaky with this stuff. She has pushed it away for a long time because it scared her. But when she was a teenager, she was about 17, and I was going to be out for the evening, and she had a young gentleman friend who she'd been seeing for some time with her. Now, she would never tell me what happened, but she says that she was protected in a particular situation in a way that she didn't feel comfortable telling me, but that she was protected. So I said, don't tell me anymore, I don't want to know. But at yet another time, I was away on a business trip, not far enough that I was driving home, and I'd been traveling over some railroad tracks. And it was a rainy evening, not a lot of rain, but just enough to make the drive messy. And when I went over the tracks, the lady behind me, she couldn't stop her car, and she smacked into the back of me. Not hard, nobody was hurt or anything like that, but she just couldn't stop because the tracks were slick.
Mm-hmm.
When I got home, the first thing my daughter said when she opened the door was, okay, what about the railroad tracks? She had been hearing these words, railroad tracks. She actually hears the voices.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I told her, and she goes, Mom, can you just tell them not to talk to me because it scares me? So I did. All you have to do is say out loud. All you have to do is talk out loud and say, this scares my daughter. Please don't do it. And then for some time, she wasn't bothered any longer. Well, now she's becoming more metaphysical and more involved. And we've had some tumultuous events in our family that have brought ghosts very close to us. And she is regularly involved now and is practicing becoming more psychic.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm always pleased to hear that, because I think as soon as you can get past the fear, then there's this wonderful understanding that comes your way, and it really gives a whole new dimension to life and to its value. Now, I want to share a poem that you wrote that's right in the beginning before we get into the ghosts of Phoenixville and Valley Forge. And this is how it reads. Ghosts reside within these tales and beyond through steel and war. Be still and hear the quiet sounds, whispers, soft and sure. See roses spin, hear counters tick as nights grow dark and old. See soldiers run across the fields, their stories far from told. No buzzing bees and doorbell chimes, see movie terrors too. Hear children laugh in stairwells dark and clocks with lights bright blue. Of course, see shadows dark and fierce that walk among the dead. Their footsteps heard both high and low bring living people dread. A book will fly right off the shelf. A horse's hooves will sound. The miners digging tunnels deep will surely come around. For all are here in Phoenixville and Valley Forge to see. The ghosts and haunts of days gone by have yarns for you to read. Please join me now and read these tales of haunts, both day and night. For spirits of these towns prevail. Their stories may delight.
Oh, you did that wonderful. I love it.
I'd love to read that on Halloween. I just think that's so good. Okay, let's start. Phoenixville? Where's Phoenixville?
Well, Phoenixville is right outside of Valley Forge. There's like a 50-mile radius around Valley Forge where lots and lots of things draw the area together. Everybody that lives in Valley Forge knows all these different areas and how they're connected. Valley Forge, of course, during the Revolution, in the 1777 to 1778, they had such hardship and suffering. And when you think of war, you know, you normally think of battle. But it was quite different at Valley Forge. And what happened there, these people, these military people, they were claimed by disease and, you know, and suffering and illness and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And the closest hospital was some side on the other side of Phoenixville, in fact, in the Yellow Springs area. So all these areas are connected, and it's just a very, very wonderful area. And I happened to live there when I was writing this book, so I was learning myself as I was going along about the history of our area.
Now, they have a Chamber of Commerce, and wouldn't you guys, anybody that's listening to this, love to have a Chamber of Commerce that's haunted? I think that is marvelous.
Well, this was so cool how that came about. I actually, that's where I decided to go first. My background before coming into publishing is in economic development. And, of course, the chambers, which are many, many, many around the country, are the first place you go to find the businesses, and they have their fingers on the pulse of what's going on throughout the nation and that kind of thing. So I thought, okay, let me go to the chamber first and find out what they know about the people and the hauntings in the area. Well, like you said, wouldn't you know, I go to the chamber and it's haunted. So the young ladies there, I call them the ladies of the chamber, they were wonderful in talking with me, and they said that we could come in and talk with them. And I say we, and I forgot to tell you how I got involved with that, with a local ghost group. The Chester County Paranormal Research Society is a group that handles Chester County, which is part of where I live and that kind of thing. So I called them and I said, you know what, the Chamber of Commerce in Phoenixville is haunted. And they said we could come in and do an investigation. Would you do that and may I come along? Well, this was my first investigation with a paranormal group, and although I'd seen some of the things on television, you know, with the TAPS program and that kind of thing, I'd never been really involved in that side of it. Well, this was one of my favorite stories because this was my story of amazement because I'd never been involved in this kind of thing. I actually was able to see things happen while we were there. We set up camera equipment. We took readings with these wonderful little electromagnetic frequency, what we call ghost meters, to tell the electromagnetic field in the areas. And we had video cameras set up where I actually saw flying orbs. Now, orbs are what we commonly call spirit energy. You know, they're gatherings of energy. There's a lot of controversy about it, of what they are, but there's no controversy in my heart and in my mind. Those are ghosts. Those are spirits waiting to manifest in some fashion. And they were all over the chamber with beautiful little lights flying over them or with them, just zooming all over the place. It was exciting.
Well, it makes you sound like you got a bunch of Tinkerbells that are
just blinking
their little lights on and off and saying, "Hey, we like the attention. You want to write about us? Hey, I got a story to tell you." Blink, blink.
Yeah, so, it was cool.
Yes, so that's wonderful. Now, there's also a mansion house that is in Phoenixville, and I loved this story. Now, this to me was so much fun. There's a ghost at the mansion house that has a pretty good hankering, I'm quoting from your book, for a roast beef hoagie dry on a long roll at least 7 or 8 times a year, and the ghost has mastered the computer ordering system.
Yes.
You've got to tell us about this wonderful, hungry ghost.
That was so funny. There are so many ghosts at the mansion house that they list some of it on their actual menu. But when you get in there and you start talking with the people, in addition to some of the really cool thing like the spinning ruse, they have this ghost who actually somehow it gets back to the kitchen through the computer for this dry roast beef hoagie, and it's happened often enough that before they'll ever fill an order like that, they have to come out to the bar area and talk to the waitresses and the bar manager to find out if indeed somebody really did order such a thing. So, and they are such good-natured, wonderful people there. They love it. Mm-hmm. They love having their ghosts there. The ghosts that are there are happy. They are fun to be around. And one is very romantic.
Oh, and which one's that?
Well, there's a ghost that they have there. His name is Jeremy. And the reason they know his name is Jeremy is that one day, some years ago, a psychic came in. She was actually a blind woman, and she came in and she said, "Do you know that you're haunted?" Well, they knew because vases would fly off the side stations at the restaurant area, and there was all kinds of different things happening. And they said, "Yes, we know." So her husband guided her over to a side station where she had a 20-minute discussion with a ghost. When she came back, she told them that Jeremy was the person that was there and that he was a young 20-something soldier who was staying there and being involved with everyone there. And what he was doing was he picked one table, table 2. So if you ever go to the manor house in Phoenixville, you ask for table 2. They have on every table a very small, thin bud vase and a rose, an artificial rose in the bud vase. He spins the rose. Well, when I came in that night with my husband, we sat down and ordered an appetizer at the bar to talk about the ghosts. I had not anticipated actually getting to see this, because when I first started out, I thought I would be seeing these stories or hearing about them, but I didn't really think I would be so involved. So they were telling me about this Jeremy and how he spun this rose, and I thought, very nice, very nice. And I'm taking my notes in my head and recording, and then I hear one of the waitresses say, "Hey, if you want to see it, that she's doing it now." So my husband and I got up and went into table 2, and sure enough, that rose was spinning. Now, I went there and checked all the air sources to see if there were drafts, to see if air conditioning was on, whatever. Not. It was just spinning, and they said he does it all the time. So that was really cool, and I was so excited when I saw that, because a physical manifestation right there in front of you, you can't deny it.
Well, at General George Washington's headquarters in Valley Forge National Park, there is a story that you have about a ghost investigator, Carol Starr. And she was talking about the year 1809, and there was a commander. Tell us about that story, because what happened with the general's body was quite interesting.
Oh, you're talking about General Wayne.
Yes.
Yes. He's Mad Anthony, they used to call him. He was a very, very strong personality type person. And he, you know, he was in the war, and he was up in the Lake Erie area, and he actually threw, the times, the fixing people who were ill back then wasn't as easy as it is now. And he eventually died in 1796. Well, sometime later, his sister, who lived down in the Radnor area, which is in that 50-mile area that I was telling you about around Valley Forge, she was very ill as well, and she wanted his remains to come back down to the Radnor area so that their family could be together. So as the story goes, the brother Isaac goes up to Erie to bring the bones back. And he takes this very small wagon to do so because he didn't think he would need much more than that. Oddly enough, when they brought the body up, when they dug the bones up, they weren't just bones. The flesh was still there on the bones. It was a full body. He was like preserved even after 13 years that he'd been buried, which was very odd. But then it gets really creepy and very strange because someone decided that the way that he'd be able to take these bones back would be to boil the flesh off of the bone. So that's what they did. And nobody knows whether Isaac actually knew that they were doing that or not, but at any rate, supposedly the bones were the flesh was taken off the bones and he was supposedly taken back down. Now that's kind of creepy in itself, but then there's still another story that goes, and again, this is how legend goes. You're not sure if it happened then. It's not like it happened to me or you right now. This is happening a long time ago and the stories get passed down. But they say that on his long journey back to Lake Erie, a lot of the bones were lost on the way, and now people say that sometimes on General Wayne's birthday, which is January 1st of the year, you can see his ghost wandering along Route 322, which is right in that area that he would have to travel, the brother would have to travel, looking for his bones.
Well, I like another part of the story that's even better.
Oh, the turning of the head?
Yes, it's where at Valley Forge Park, General Wayne's statue. On clear nights with a full moon, the head on the statue rotates. Oh, I just love these stories. This
now,
is just
I
so
haven't
cool.
been able to see that happen, but that's what they say. We were out there, my husband and I were out there with that camera that night, and we thought, we're going to see this happen, but it didn't happen. So
didn't
I don't know.
Happen.
They maybe just didn't like us.
Well, either that or maybe you took a nap and you didn't realize.
That's right. That's what it must have been.
More stuff as we go along. But it's just so much fun, and it is fascinating because Dinah's personal stories of her own experiences and those of her daughter are in the book, and this is Ghosts of Valley Forge and Phoenixville, and also the history that she relates here and the experiences that she goes through. And I know from personal experiences you can go into areas, and there's one we didn't talk about, the Yellow Springs General Hospital, and I know we're not going to have time to do that. But you have areas that have gone through tremendous traumas, and it's almost like there is a universal movie that is there, that all
yes.
of the information, everything that happened in that moment of trauma is right there. And if you walk into a certain energy frequency, you get it played back to you.
That's
and
right.
It's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. And once you have the experience, you never forget it.
That's
Dinah,
right.
This book is your first book, per se, of this subject matter, and it is Ghosts of Valley Forge in Phoenixville. What is the website that people can go to find out more about your book?
They can go to www.schifferbooks.com. That's S-C-H-I-F-F-E-R books.com. Or my personal website, which has all of my books and upcoming books that are coming out and sample chapters and that kind of thing, and that is www.roseberrybooks.com.
And that's R-O-S-E-B-E-R-R-Y books.com.
Right.
Well, Dinah, this is just wonderful. What word of wisdom would you have on two levels? One, regarding the paranormal, and two, about someone that would love to become a writer because you're so involved in the field.
Right. For my first advice is to please have an open mind about things, and don't look at it as an evil or a scary thing. Most things that you're going to see in paranormal are there for you, and it's something that you should relish as opposed to draw back from. Those who want to be writers, if they have particular areas of the country, we are looking for writers who are interested in starting a career or enhancing their own career by doing ghost books on varied areas, cities. We do very regional areas like small cities and towns, and I'd be happy to talk with anyone.
Well, that is fabulous. My guest, Dinah Roseberry, her wonderful book, Ghosts of Valley Forge and Phoenixville. You can go to one of two websites, hers, which is roseberrybooks.com or schifferbooks.com. Dinah, this has been so much fun. And when you come out with your next one, you've got to send me a copy.
I will. The next one's going to be the Cape May Haunts.
Ooh, that's good. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
That's super. Dinah, thank you so much for being my guest. And again, her wonderful book is Ghosts of Valley Forge and Phoenixville. And that's Dinah Roseberry, roseberrybooks.com or schifferbooks.com. We're getting ready to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share with you. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be back right after these messages.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and this is the Hour of Mind Power. Telephone lines are now open, and you're more than welcome to call in and chat with me. For the U.S., 877-876-5227 is our telephone number, 877-876-5227. For those of you in Canada, 888-815-9756, that's 888-815-9756. And international 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I wanted to share with you, oh, and by the way, excuse me, I'm digressing for a moment. I want to let those of you who are new listeners know how much we're delighted, how very delighted we are, I should say, that you have joined our listening family here at bbsradio.com. And if you want to call in, all you need to do is give your first name or initial and let me give you my insights, my intuitive insights, and then you're welcome to ask a question about whatever you like. It's just a wonderful way for me to share my skills and abilities with you and to let you know it's not something to be feared. It's an information resource. That's what I describe myself as being. I want to share with you, oh my goodness, we've got a caller already, and I'm going to read this quote, though, before I go to the caller. This was by John William Gardner. He was a psychologist for the U.S. government. In fact, he was the U.S. Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. And I really like this, and I want to share it with you today. Some people have greatness thrust upon them. You have excellence thrust upon them. They achieve it. They do not achieve it unwittingly by doing what comes naturally, and they don't stumble into it in the course of amusing themselves. All excellence involves discipline and tenacity of purpose. Very good quote. I like that. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Emma calling from San Francisco.
Hi, Emma. Good old San Francisco, one of my favorite cities. Oh, I just love San Francisco. All right, dear, first thing that I'm looking at with you is a combination of pictures popped into my head. One, I'm seeing a lot of writing, a lot of documentation that's around you. It's as if you're trying to coordinate materials, concepts, ideas. There's a project. I'll use that word, project. And there's a computer that I'm seeing you involved with. I'm looking at phone calls. There's conversations with people. So I don't know exactly what's going on, but it is not something that is going to be able to be done, let's say, within a couple of days. It looks like it's a project that's involving some research, some pulling together of information from various sources and individuals. And I think that you really have to have it streamlined. It's like you start out with a whole bunch of fluff, a whole bunch of stuff, and then you have to weed out what you really don't want until you get everything so real tight and together that whatever this is, whether it's a book you're writing, a proposal you're presenting, it's whoever picks it up is going to go, wow, this is amazing. But you will have put a lot of time into it. Also, what I'm looking at is traveling. I think that one of the changes you would like to see in your life is managing time, money, and organizing yourself so that you can do things the way you want to do them relative to traveling. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a love of a desire to travel all across the country, go maybe to all kinds of places in the United States. I'm seeing you enjoying the plains of, you know, just traveling throughout the country, going to some oddball places because you say, I want to know about these places. There's history, there's archaeology involved. I'm seeing you in museums, and I'm just seeing you loving every moment of it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that, yes, you will need to plan for, and I think you can do it on a very economical, you know, patterning or with a patterning of economical prudence that is going to surprise people.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, you are a person that apparently does your homework first, and you really look at what you want done, and I'm seeing you having a vehicle. I don't know that you have one right now, but I'm seeing eventually a vehicle. Maybe it's like a minivan or a small RV, but something that you can take with you wherever you go, you're totally comfortable with, you feel safe being in it, and you don't mind any of the expenses associated with it, and you just take off and go. It's like a miniature traveling house, that's what I would describe. And you're just having a great, great time. What question would you like to ask me today?
I don't know if this is something you can read the energy about. About 6 weeks ago, one of my dogs passed away, and now another one of my dogs is starting to exhibit the same symptoms. And I don't know if you can pick up any energy on that. If, you know,
okay.
I know the frequencies have risen, and, you know, animals and people are, you know, passing over.
Well, it's not just that. There was a tremendous bond between the two of them. How old is the dog that is surviving at this time?
Like 11 or 12.
All right, and how old was the other dog when it passed?
Like 12.
Okay. What you are picking up is that this animal had a very strong bond with its companion, and it's not unlike human companionship. Many times people are ready to pass over shortly after someone dies unless they've really got something they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
We had a friend who's mother passed, and then the father was gone 6 months later, and there was no illness with him. He was just gone. Boom.
Right, right.
And he chose to vacate. So I would suggest something. I don't know how comfortable you would be with this, but I would suggest that you consider getting a younger animal.
Oh, I already have two other younger animals.
Okay, great. If they're able to occupy enough of the older dog's attention, there might be a delay. And I think what you're seeing also is a grieving,
mm-hmm.
a deep grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And contrary to some people's opinions, animals do grieve.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. I've seen it with birds. I've seen it with dogs, cats, just about every animal that you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is that reaction. And it is something that I feel we just need to honor and respect. So I would just encourage you to talk to your dog and say, it's okay. If you want to leave, that's fine. I would just assume you stayed because you're loved. We really want you. But be aware that this may be the animal's choice.
Yeah, I know. That's hard, but yeah, I understand.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very difficult. But I've seen, again, both sides. And when you have two dogs that are very, very close companions, then that is significant. And your dog may be going through sort of a delayed grief patterning here.
Okay.
And I would just give the dog a lot of love and just say, you know, you really need it. And
okay.
make it okay that whatever the choice is that the animal makes, that you're
right.
in harmony with it.
Yeah, this started a few days ago when I ended up having him sleep by himself without the other two dogs.
That's not good.
Yeah, and he started vomiting and diarrhea.
Don't do that. No, let him stay around the other dogs. When you isolate him, even if he's ill,
yeah.
try to keep him in close proximity. Even if you had to keep him, let's say, in a carrier or in a, okay. you know, in a fenced area, if you could do it and just say, you need to know you're loved and we're going to be with you. Please, whatever you do, do not leave that animal alone. As
okay.
much as it may inconvenience you, don't do that.
No, it's not really an inconvenience. So he's kind of sitting on the fence now?
Mm-hmm.
About
yes.
which way to go?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I think having the younger dogs there is very important. He needs that companionship.
Okay. Yeah, I don't work, so I can essentially have him with me everywhere.
I would. I would make sure that this animal knows that he's needed.
Okay.
And I think especially with older dogs, when you have younger dogs, and they lose their companion. When the older dogs lose their companion, that is so important to them.
Even though they didn't spend a lot of time together playing.
It doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
The bond was still there. There's a vacancy in their space.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope it helps you, dear. I know this is not easy. Let me share something with you. We have had Scottish Terriers for years. And the reason I say do not leave your dog alone, we had a little terrier who contracted lymphoma.
Yeah.
And we had to leave the terrier, and it was our choice, in an animal hospital.
Uh-huh.
And my terrier let me know he did not want to be there. He
yeah.
was dying.
Yeah.
That was happening.
Uh-huh.
And it would have been far better if we'd brought him home because he died all alone in that hospital. Uh-huh. And that just, he had never been that alone. And it was just, it's just something we have to be aware of, I think,
okay.
sometimes. And
okay.
that's my bias. That's where I come from. And okay. that's why I responded the way I did about don't isolate your older dog.
Okay, so he may be dying and he may not. He's just on the fence.
That's right. And so if he chooses to stay longer, you want to give him that quality and you want to spend the time talking to him and just being there and, you know, going about your daily business. But being present with him, to
okay.
me, I think that's so important. I mean, you wouldn't want to not do that with someone that you loved. And this is
right.
an animal whose life you love a great deal. He's contributed a great deal to your life.
Okay. Thank
All
you.
All right. I know this is hard, and I'm so glad you called. Thank you. I hope I've helped.
You have a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and the telephone lines are open if you'd like to give me a call. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, other international people can call 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, I want to let you know about the guests that are coming up. We have got a wonderful lineup this week. We're going to be talking tomorrow with Patricia Aberdeen. Megatrends 2010. Patricia and an associate have done quite a bit of research about the changes that are evolving, not just in the working marketplace, but on so many other levels of life. And I found the research fascinating, interesting, and I believe you will too. So Patricia's going to be on with us tomorrow, and I'm going to be doing the best of Donna on Thursday and Friday because I have a business trip. I'm going to be on in a plane traveling. I haven't figured out how I can do a show by remote osmosis. I just haven't gotten there yet. This is Donna. Welcome to the show. We've got a caller. Hello.
Hello?
First name or initial, dear, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Phoenix, and my name is Diane.
All right. Now, Diane, I need to tell you, we're going to be going to break in about a minute and a half. So don't hang up, and then we'll come back to you, all right?
Okay.
All right. Now, Diane, what I'm looking at with you are two words, no nonsense. Don't play games with your head. Don't try to fluff up what is not supposed to be fluffed. Pay attention to the details. Listen carefully to what people say and hear exactly what they're saying. Don't add anything to it and don't take anything away from it. You'll come out a lot better if you do, because what is occurring is that your business acumen is becoming sharpened. And I want you to be able to develop it so that you can see your business grow, so that you can see your business develop. And this is going to mean a lot to you. Now, Diane, we're going to be taking a break there. Would you stay on the line, please?
Sure.
All right. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. If you want to call in, too, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment to talk with Diane in Phoenix, Arizona, and your call, too, if you'd like to call in. Don't go away now.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be going right back to the phone lines to go to Diane to find out her question. And if you'd like to call in yourself, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., 888-815-9756 if you're in Canada. Hello, Diane. Give me your question, please.
My question is, my husband just got a new job, and we're considering moving closer towards that job.
Uh-huh.
And my concern is for the kids and changing schools. What do you think about
that? I don't know that you have to be worried about the kids. I think the kids are adventuresome enough and adaptable enough. I really think you underestimate your kids' capabilities. What are their ages?
9 and 11.
This actually is a good time for them to move, because they are young enough wherever you are moving to be able to make the adjustment. Also, they still can keep in touch with the friends that they have. No, I think the move is going to be a good one. Where are you looking to move to?
It's just south of Phoenix. It's Gilbert. So
well,
it's not out of state or anything.
Right. No, I figured it wasn't. So how much closer will that be for your husband?
A lot closer.
What's a lot? Like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? What is it?
Well, right now he's probably about an hour at least away.
Okay, so he's an hour now, so this will bring him in a lot closer than that. So maybe he's like 15, 20 minutes from
about,
home.
About, yeah, exactly.
Well, I would say that you sit down and have a good conversation with your kids, and I would involve them in the adventure of looking for the new location. I believe that they still can interact with some of the people that they have known, even if it's only an hour away, that's not that far. And I think that there are some activities that they can even continue to be involved with friends that they have at this time. So I think that there's so much more flexibility than you realize. So I would not be that concerned about the move. You're planning on doing it before school starts, I'm assuming.
Well, we were thinking about it.
I would do the research. I would check into the schools, and I'd involve the kids in it.
Okay.
Find out what sports activities are there, look at it, and say, this is an adventure. This is something new. Part of what happens when you go through a process like this, and there may be some reticence in some respects because they really don't want to think about that. But when they're adults, dealing with change is something that has to be a part of their life. So I think that your husband's opportunity is a good one, and he's looking to even expand more with that. His time with family is very important. So if this enables him to spend more time with family and be involved with the kids and their activities in school much more comfortably, this is a plus, not a minus.
Okay. It's probably more myself.
That's a good, honest answer. I think that that probably is true. Let's face it. I mean, whenever you have to make a move, usually it's mom that has to manage almost everything.
Exactly.
So you're looking at the house, and you're looking at the kids, and the changes with the school, and the doctors, and all kinds of things that you might be having to look at. And you go, do I really want to do this? Of course the answer's going to be no. You're in a comfort zone where you are. But yet, on the other hand, I think that there could be a lot of good that comes out of this. But I'd involve the kids in it. I really would.
Okay.
I think that you'll be surprised at how they will participate and come up with some pretty good ideas.
Okay.
So I don't think you have to give up your friends or lose your friends. There is a shift. But I do also think you need to research on the quality of the schools in the area that you're going to.
Right.
You know, what's happening there. So this is a good time to do it.
All right.
Oh, I sympathize with you. If ever I had to move, oh my goodness, I just, it's like, yes, I would, you know, moving isn't the big deal. It's organizing everything. And if you've been in a place for a bit of time, especially with a family, my goodness, you've got so much stuff. It's unbelievable.
Right.
But all of it can be organized. It really can, so the move doesn't have to be a nightmare.
Right.
But involve the kids.
Okay.
I think they'll surprise you.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
You are very welcome, and you have a fabulous day.
You too.
This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat of 877-876-5227 for the U.S., for Canadians, 888-815-9756. Now, remember, I read to you earlier the quote by John William Gardner, who was formerly the U.S. Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. Excellence, it involves discipline and tenacity of purpose. That's the last sentence in that quote. Man, is that so true? You must have purpose. You must have the willingness to hang in there to achieve excellence. It is just a requirement. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Sharon, and I'm calling from Tucson.
From Tucson. My goodness, Arizona has it today. Okay, now Sharon, when I'm watching you, I really think that you are going to find that you feel like you're behind an eight ball. You are not. And, of course, that's just a figure of speech. You've encountered what seems to be obstacles. And in my mind, it's like I'm looking at a cartoon that has these large billiard balls. And I see the number 8 popping up on each one of them. And there, of course, it's a dark color, and you're going, I didn't want to have this one. I don't want to be behind the eight ball anymore. I want to be in a different positioning. And I'm seeing you as a little figure going around the ball, and you're going, I don't like this. I don't want to have these obstacles anymore in my path. And I want to say, it's your perception. You need to realize that what you're perceiving as obstacles are sort of like safety margins that you have, whether you believe it or not, put into positioning. You are a person that does not like change very much. You'll take change in certain ways, but major change on a big level is not always comfortable for you. You like to feel like you've got control over everything. I would like to encourage you to lighten up a little bit and have a little bit more trust and a little bit more faith, first in yourself and your capacity for decision-making, and secondly, for life. Realize that there is a flow that can evolve that you can be very comfortable with. And I think you're at the end of this cycle with these obstacles that are there in front of you. And I don't see them knocking you over. It just seems like you have to work extra hard to bypass them or get around them. What would you like to ask me today?
I've started a group, and I'm still continuing to work on starting this group, and it takes major promoting and getting the word out. And we're having a big networking meeting on the 28th. Do you see that successful in recruiting the numbers that we need to get the group officially off the ground?
Well, what kind of numbers are you looking for? 200? What is the number?
Between 20 to 22 is what we officially need. We're about a little less than 10.
Well, you're going to find that 17 is the closest one that I'm getting. However, there are going to be some other people, about another 10 people, that might be willing to do something, I'll call it on a part-time basis. So I think you will continue to work on attracting a group. And I think with that, there needs to be a familiarity and an incorporating of contacts with a number of other organizations and or individuals that have a compatible positioning with what you're trying to do. And I think you're going to find that you're going to have an opportunity to have lunch with a group of women. One man apparently is going to be a part of it as well, but it's primarily women. And you're going to want to do some brainstorming, and you're going to find they're going to come up with some real, real good ideas. So I believe this is going to get off the ground. I do think it's taking longer than what you expected, but that's just the way it has to be for right now. And I said has to be because there is that commitment that needs to be made to it. This isn't something where you just add a powder, shake it up with a little bit of water, mix, and then you've got it. It just isn't going to happen that way.
Well, actually, I love it, and I'm really enjoying it. But people that are coming now, one has been expressing that we should just not. Occasionally, I meet that. I meet responses that they're saying, well, maybe, you know, we should not waste our time in continuing to promote this group. Now, I don't believe that. My inner core says I'm enjoying the process. I'm enjoying the journey to the destination. And so, if this person does fall out, fine. You know, I'll just continue on with it.
Well, and I think that's good thinking. When you can take that positioning, realizing that you know what the purpose is and the value is, and someone may have come in with a different agenda, and there are sometimes people that want things to happen instantaneously, and it doesn't work out that way.
No.
So your journey, as you are choosing it, is that you need to make it okay that there are going to be those individuals that will come in and fall away. Maybe they have visions of grandeur. Maybe they don't want, you know, they think this is something that's going to be a lot of fun and not very much work. Well, it's going to be work. You aren't going to build an organization, a successful group, without putting in the time, the effort, and the energy. There are no shortcuts. It's just what has to be done. So you don't want to have people that are going to be part of your circle, if you will, the inner circle, the inner strength of what is to be done, you don't want them to be mediocre. You want them to have the same enthusiasm, because that enthusiasm is what's going to attract the right people to you, and that you're sifting out the ones that don't have the holding stamina. That's okay, too. That's not a bad thing.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
You are more than welcome.
Thanks.
You have a fabulous day.
And you have a great trip.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm looking forward to it.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and I wanted to remind you that we have a wonderful, wonderful guest, Patricia Aberdeen, Megatrends 2010. Are you curious? What did her research bring up? What are we going to be discovering as the potential changes that are evolving in this world that we live in? Well, I know we're just about out of time here. I want to thank you all for being a part of the show. I want to thank my guest, Dinah Roseberry, and her wonderful spooky stories. They're just so much fun. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to be with me, to listen to the show, and sharing it with your friends. Remember, here at bbsradio.com, we're always interested in your comments, and we like to hear from you what you think about the show, what it is that you would like to have in guests or other information. We're always delighted to know what you feel, and we want to hear from you. So you can go to the bbs.com comments section of the website and list your comments there, or you can go to Donna at Delphi International.com. And by the way, I wanted to share for just